You know, one of the things that happens this time of year is a lot of times you start thinking about, okay, what am I going to do next year? You know, what goals, what, you know, and that's good. It's always good to look and see, okay, what's coming, what's happening. And, you know, one bigger perspective that we want to talk about here, and it's going to be through the month of January, is the larger scale is, what is my destiny? What is my purpose? What is what am I supposed to be doing? The definition of destiny means the events that will or has happened to a particular person, whether past or future. You know, and you might have said this before. You might have heard somebody say this, that something happens, or you see somebody's life said, well, that just must have been their destiny, or that must have been supposed to happen, or that was must have been God's will, or what was supposed to happen. And the thing is, do you believe that everything that happens in our life is God's destiny for us? No, it's not. God does have a destiny for us, but that doesn't mean every single thing that happens is part of his will, a part of what he wants. One of the biggest factors in our destiny is even believing you have one. You know, you're not going to go look for something if you don't even know it's there. Now, I just tell you, I do not like shopping. I like going in, knowing exactly what I'm going to get, and get out. You know, in and out. You know, that's. But shopping could be a very educational opportunity if you're with your family members. Because, I'm serious, because you get to know them. You find out their favorite colors, you find out clothes. So, men, there's an opportunity to get a hangout with, now Grace and I think we were down at the Jeffersonville Outlet Center, and it was getting really enduring. And so, so what we decided to do is go through, we were in some clothing store, women's clothing store, and so we decided to do is to find out every nation that every product in that store was made by. So we would just go around and look at tags and stuff. So we had to come up with something. But anyways, I don't even know why I said that. But God, well, looking. So, you know, it's important if we're going to find out or believe or even look or even consider a destiny, that we have a destiny, we have to believe it. We have to look for it, because you're not going to find it if you don't look for it. There's a verse in the Bible, starts in Psalms 139, says, "For you created my inmost being." This is talking about God. "You knit me together in my mother's womb." So God himself, you know, you just didn't just happen. Yeah, we could go through scientifically or biologically and say, well, let's look and this happens. But you just don't happen. God created you. God had a purpose. You weren't an accident. It goes on, says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." God had his hands involved in you when you were being formed, even in your mother's womb. And he goes on, he says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God had a plan for your life. And you know, when God created that plan, there's things that happen in us, or things that happen to us, that is not part of God's plan. You know, for those who have parents, who have or had children, you know, we want the best for our kids. We want to see them grow. We want to see them know God, love God. We want to see them succeed. We want to see them being loved. We want to see them have value. You know, we want to see them enjoy life. If we feel that, how much more does God feel that way toward each one of you? That he has that same, even greater. We can't even put, an amount toward it. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where everything isn't perfect. Where, unfortunately, most of the world rejects God. Rejects the true God. And sometimes things don't turn out like we hope they would. Does that mean, as a parent, if that happened to our kids, does that mean we stop loving them? Does that mean we reject them? It doesn't mean we give up on them? No. You know, we keep hoping, believing, loving, wanting the best for them. And that's what God feels for us. No matter what happens, no matter what we go through, it doesn't change God's heart toward us. And that's really important for us to realize that just because we mess up, we blow it, or something happens in life that's totally out of our control, doesn't mean that God changed his desire for our heart. I had a brother, Ron, he was mentally handicapped. He's with the Lord now. And when he was a child, he was born healthy, but when he was little, he got very sick. And I don't know if it was measles or whatever, ended up real high fever, ended up causing brain damage. And do I believe that God made him sick? Nope, not at all. Was this God's plan for him to be mentally handicapped? Nope, I don't believe that was God's plan. It's something that happened. But even in the midst of that, you know, our destiny, this is our destiny. You know, things in life happen, circumstances, things in life happen. But God is big enough that he can take that little blue dot, which represents destiny, and he can make it much bigger. He can encompass. You know, did my brother getting sick and having all that, did that surprise God? No. But God, he has ability, no matter what happens in your life, that he continues to unfold his destiny. He continues to have that. How many of you have ever went swimming and you were in a situation where you had to tread water? I remember when I was I learned to swim at the YMCA. And they used to just throw you in there and say, swim down there and back. But I'm going to drown. I didn't trust them. I knew I was going to drown. So I was real hesitant to get in that water. I didn't know these guys. I didn't know if you could swim. You know, and you want me to jump in this deep water, and I can't swim, I was little. But the hardest part for me was not the swimming, was the treading water. Was staying here for a long time and just, you know, keeping that. Well, you know, sometimes life feels like we're just treading water. How many of you felt like life felt like you were just treading water? You're just like this. There was no, you just sat there trying to survive, trying to keep above the water, trying not to drown. Well, you know, one of the most important things when you're treading water is to know where land is, or know where the side of the pool is, or know what's going on. It's nice to have that. You know, and sometimes in life, we're going along, we're swimming, we're maybe on the beach, we're enjoying life, and all of a sudden, bam, a wave comes in and throws us back down in the water, or takes us back out. And all of a sudden, here we are, treading water again. I remember one time I was in Florida, and I don't know if you guys ever did body surfing in the waves. I used to love the body surfs. You know, those big waves come and you just dive in it. Except one time I dove in the one that was, I didn't time it right. And so the wave, you know, the wave comes out, and right before the wave comes, the water gets shallow, so I dove in, and the wave caught me and then just pounded me down into the water. But I don't know, bloody my nose and everything. Timing, you know, getting that. But sometimes that's what happens. We miss the timing of God, or our life circumstances. You know, we can't control what other people do. You know, there's things that happen, and all of a sudden, where we were just doing great, we felt like, boom, we're in a situation, we're treading water. The most important thing when you tread water is, where's the land? Which way do I need to swim? Because you don't want to swim the wrong direction. You don't want to keep swimming about where it's deeper. You want to swim toward land. Our land is Jesus. Whenever we're treading water, whatever happens in our life, it's important to know, where's Jesus? You know, as we're making our decisions, we're looking for this year, the most important thing we have to ask ourselves, where's Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus this year? What goals do you have for your relationship with God? Because everything else is pretty much temporal. But what you do with Jesus is eternal. Back in the 40s, there was a man named Abraham Maslow, and you guys have probably seen some of you. Anybody ever seen this before? It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and he basically, this was a paper he done called A Theory of Human Motivation, And he came up and he said, you know, these really are some of the basic needs. The reality is Abraham Maslow did not create this. He did not put this in a pyramid. He made it more look like something like this, where it was just like, here's a bunch of needs, and you're not going to get to this self-actualization if you don't have these needs met. The other part of this is that he did not put the equation of God in this. And they also realized that these change, what you perceive as your needs change based on where you are in life. If you're a child, if you're a teenager, if you're an adult, middle age, older, if you're married, single, just where you are, if you're male, female, all this. The other thing is that, which most people never share, is that later in life, Abraham Maslow added something to this. He had another whole thing, and he basically says, because when you look at this, the goal of this, he says, is self-actualization, that you basically find your total destiny and find out what you're supposed to be and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he said, statistically, they said 1 out of 100 people actually end up getting there. But if we take this and put it in perspective of God, what I see, especially when I read here, I'm going to read just a few minutes, what they say is self-actualization. I call it spiritual maturity. And the reality is, in God, there's things that we will do because of love that may not be safe. A father jumping out in front of a car to protect his child, to save his child. He'll do it love because it's not safe. So Maslow, when he put these together, he just lumped them all and said, all these are involved somehow in this self-actualization. Over this next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of these areas based on what's the scripture say about this? What's the God say? What's God say as far as our physical needs? What's God say as far as, what the Bible say as far as safety and self-preservation and those areas? And these are all good. I mean, you know, we have to consider this, you know, that what's happening in our life. And it's not that we want to keep ourselves in an unsafe situation, but what is God's perspective? What's God say about love and belonging and self-esteem and you know, all these areas? What does he say about that? The thing that that Maslow added here is he said that the reality that he, and this was later, that he had another category, it's called self-transcendence. And it's basically is that the most important thing somebody could do is not live for yourself, but live for others. That's what his final conclusion was, after years and years of going around this and teaching this, was that the bottom line is, and I'm going to read it here. He says, self only finds its actualization in giving itself to some higher goal outside oneself. And that's where true self-actualization, that we sacrifice. And if you consider the Bible, that's exactly what Jesus did. That he came not for himself. He came for us. And there's fulfillment in living and giving our life away for others. One of the things in the scriptures that we'll look at is in Genesis. You know, a principle of interpreting scripture, anytime you want to interpret scripture, is to go back and find out what was the original intent. What was the original purpose? Why did God say this in the first place? So if we go back and look at the very beginning of it all, God said in Genesis 1:26, we talk about our destiny. He says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air, over livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. That was God's original plan. That was God's original intent. There's a sense, I don't know if you can catch the heart of God, that he's basically saying here, go get them. Get out there and be blessed and rule. And I believe in God's heart, when he creates every one of us, that's his original intent. Go get them. Get out there and live life. Live life. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it to the fullest. That you go out there and live life. Now, circumstances happen. Life happens. But you know, God's heart never changes. My brother, even when he's mentally handicapped, you know what God's heart was? Go get him. You know, go out there and live life. Experience him. You know, there's something about the Spirit of God that transcends our mental capability. There's something about the presence and Spirit of God that can touch people's lives no matter what's going on inside of them. You know, part of when we talk about that self-actualization, the sense of maturity, this is interesting that this is what they said. This is if you are self-actualized, if you reached the 1%, this is what should be going on in your life. And it's just interesting how this so relates to the scripture. And what I call it is spiritual maturity. This is the first thing. Did you experience life like a child with full absorption and concentration? Do you remember what Jesus said about the kingdom of God? He says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you will never enter in. Again, they said, one of the things of this is that you can try new things instead of sticking to safe paths. There's something about courage. Another one says that you, listening to your own feelings and evaluating experiences instead of the voice of tradition, authority, or the majority. There's a sense inside of that you know God's voice. You know what God's saying. Another one, it says, avoiding pretense, game playing, and being honest. Another one is being prepared to be unpopular if your views do not coincide with those of the majority. Another one is taking responsibility for working hard. The last one is trying to identify your defenses and having the courage to give them up. There's something about if you have walked with God, to me, that's a lot of what a Christian life should be like. Should be walking in that freedom of not being controlled by other people. You know, and that's what, when we go back to the original intent, that's what God's intent was. Go get him. Get out there and live life. Do you know what the first question in the Bible was? You know who asked the first question in the Bible? Satan did. The devil. And you know what that first question's intent was to do? Was to deceive, really to rob Adam and Eve of their destiny. That you were created to live a life with God, to be victorious, to go out there and have this abundant life that Jesus came back a few thousand years later and died on the cross to again, to reestablish that same purpose, to have that abundant life. And the devil comes in and says, did God really say that? Did God really want you to live that kind of life? Does God really love you? Does God have a purpose? God's lying to you, is what he's saying. God's a deceiver. God's trying to trick you. He's trying to make you feel like, well, if you live this Christian life, you're going to miss out. You're not going to have the abundant life. You're going to be robbed of all the abundance. All those were lies. You know what the first question God asked in the Bible? This is the first question God asked. He says, but the Lord God called to man, where are you? And that question echoes through eternity to mankind. It echoes today. The question is, where are you? Where are you in God's purpose for your life? Where are you in relation to him? Because really, the more our life lines up to him, the more we're going to walk in that purpose. The more we walk, you say, well, how do I even know that? How do I know God's purpose in life? Well, the main read you're going to find is right here in the Bible. Is being in the Bible. And I'm not going to start sharing all the statistics of how few people, Christians, how few pastors even read the Bible. How few people pray. How few people worship. How few people. And here lies these treasures. The living word. The treasures of God. And finding out the wonderful things he has for us. No wonder the enemy wants to keep us away from this. No wonder he wants to keep you away from God's people. And wants you to be alone. And wants you to go out there and say, no. Because if you get by God's people, you might get encouraged. You might find hope. You might find purpose. You might find that God's people, you know, sometimes we get tired of treading water. You might find somebody, a lifesaver, who will come and pull you up and help get you out of that water, pull you up on the land. You might find that. That's why it's so important for us to be in God's word, to be in God's presence, to pray, talk to him, and to be with his people. If we could have our musicians come back, our worship team. And as they're coming, I'd like to ask you to ponder that question that God asked Adam years ago. Did God really know where Adam was? I was like, huh, I wonder where Adam went. I lost him. Hey, this is hide and seek, and he's doing really good. You know, I can't find him anywhere. No, God knew exactly where he was. The question was not for God's benefit, it was for Adam's benefit. Hey, Adam, where are you? What's going on in your life? And that's the question we have to ask. Where are you? Where's your life in connection to God? Because that's really what he was saying. It wasn't, you know, how you doing guarding the garden. It was more like, Adam, where are you between us? And the question today is, where are you with God? He provided everything. There's nothing you can go out and buy at Lowe's or Myers or something that's going to help you get into that close relationship with God, unless it's the Bible. You know, there's nothing to go. Jesus paid for all that. It's just a simple matter of this simple thing that Jesus said is a stumbling block to most people. Because you know what? We want to work it out. We want to be the ones that do it. Whereas God did it all, and it's simply by faith. Faith is believing and trusting that what God said. And Jesus said he did it all. The Bible says he did it for us. Now our part is responding to what he's done. So if we go ahead and stand, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask our personal ministry team to come up. These ones, especially if you're a guest here today, these ones are up here to pray with you about anything you want prayer about. Whatever they pray with you is confidential. You're not going to see in the bulletin next week. And they've been trained. And it could be something that we didn't even share about today. Just you feel like, I want to go up here and pray. Maybe you have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Maybe you never made, and what I mean by that is you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior and say, God, I want you. Jesus, you did all this for me. Today I want to receive that from you. I want you to be my Savior. These ones can pray with you about that. Maybe you don't know where you're at with God. They can pray with you about that too. But I want us to pray together and just welcome the Holy Spirit. Just that freshness. We're looking into 2015. As we're treading water and saying, what's my destiny? Where am I going? That we see Jesus. That we see that our goal is we're swimming toward him. And he's our land. He's our hope. Not just this year, but for eternity. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you this day. That you will help us see where we are with you. Lord, you said you didn't come to condemn us or give us a spirit of condemnation, but you came to set us free. Lord, this day that to be freedom as we step into our close relationship with you, as we step into saying, God, I want your purpose. God, these goals I'm setting in 2015, I want you in them, in all of them. My day for tomorrow and the next week and at school and at work and at home with my friends when I'm out shopping. God, I want you in all these things. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to bring that understanding and revelation. As we shared, Pastor Ron shared earlier about that new syllabus. Lord, that we look down and we see throughout the syllabus that you're there with us. It's not just here, go do it. But Lord, it's like, let's do this together, God. We welcome that, God. There's a sense of togetherness as we step into this new year, God. And Lord, when you ask that question, where are you? You don't do it in condemnation, but you do it in love because you are a good shepherd and you care for each one of us. We thank you for that, God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Help us to know your great love in Jesus' name.